But thank you for doing this. I was going to talk about the concert, and I was like, oh, he saw it too. That's great, because I remember you mentioning you were going to try to go see it.
I was so pissed at that. Oh, like, I really had planned. I was like, yeah, but I had meant to get there, and I was trying to wait for the markdown. You know, sometimes right before the show, they'll do that markdown for whatever seats they haven't sold yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot. Walking past, and I'm like, dang, that crap is the night. So I'm glad they still had a show in Baltimore. So I'm like, all right.
No, that's good. You worked it out and saw it. I was excited about this show. And that was my birthday gift for myself. And I can't remember the last time I seen them all together, but I do remember, like, at the Summerfest, I saw BBD and then Bobby Brown came out. Like, they were all there, but they were there separately, which is crazy.
Yeah, Ralph, so many iterations of the two. Because I remember one time it was Ralph, Johnny, and Bobby.
Yes. Heads of State.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this. This was like when I seen them separate like that. I'm talking, I saw them because they were with the bigger, like, those Bud festivals.
Oh, so the Budweiser Fest in the 90s. Yeah. These have
that Great America. You see Kid and Play, you see NWA, you see, you know, Digital Underground was at every concert. So depending on what kind of music you listen to, either Digital Underground was going to be in that show, no matter what you saw, they was going to be opening, or CNC Music Factory. Yeah, so you're gonna see either one of those two. Yeah, so it was interesting times, but it was just,
I
keep like
trying to tell people, so if there's another time I wish I could have been an adult, it would have been the late 80s to early 90s. I just always keep
good times.
I feel like the parties would have just been so much fun. Yeah. Like, my generation, we grew up watching something like House Party, and technically we kind of had parties like that in high school a bit, because social media wasn't really a thing yet. We were right at the cusp of it kind of shifting. But music had changed. So, like, by the time I got high school, it was like trap music by then. So it wasn't even the same. And people didn't dance anymore. But I would have loved to have been around for, like, the New Jack Swing House.
Yeah.
That would have been a time.
My music was New Jack. And it was crazy because when I thought about it, when I think about, like, the lyrics and stuff, like, I was a kid, like, you know, 16, 17, 18, you know, when you kind of being, you know, like a teenager and you're going through these different things and your body's changing and your mental's changing and you're not quite grown, but you're not a kid either, and you're trying to find your place in things. All those songs were just so heavy and emotional. It fit. It was just like, it was like the vehicle to your journey of being a teen. It felt in place. So when I think of it now, it kind of trips me out, kind of thinking like, ooh, that's kind of not nasty, but it's kind of grown. It's really grown. I was that age and it was too grown for me then, but it's funny, I didn't think about that.
I feel like we only care once we have kids. But I feel like when you're a kid, I feel like music has just always been nasty, no matter what era. There's always the wild stuff.
Yeah.
And you just don't even think about it in that same way. Because the 90s was kind of off the chain by the time I was coming up. So all of that was there. And you don't even realize how wild some stuff is until you hear it played back. What I thought was funny, the group Mokin' Stef, when they had the E's on. I remember all that. Always had everybody on there. And I just remember Mokin' Stef was on all that one time. You know, he might be doing you, but he's thinking about me. And mind you, the whole crowd is like nine. I will say, at least with that, the late 80s, early 90s, at least since I was a kid, my parents were still partying at that time. So I remember the parties at the house and the barbecues, and then all the little kids that were like 4 and 5 would run around dancing. So I remember that. But it would have been dope to be a teenager, young adult in that era. Yeah. That would just be a good time. But the music was still fun by the time I got to that age. And I feel like we at least had it better than the kids here, because they don't do anything now. It's just TikTok and Snapchat and stare at everybody. They just want people watch now, so it's not even fun. Even the clubs, you know, I don't know if it's the same out there, but I know out here everything is just, I haven't been in a club in a good minute, but
me either.
Like VIP sections and hookah and sections up. So a lot of them get rid of the dance floors and creating just the sections. And I'm like,
it's all about vibing and chilling. Because
I have a work all day. Who wants to vibe after you know, it's supposed to let out and let loose. So
exactly. The clubs. Yeah, we got the same thing here. A lot of the spots are like hookah lounges and stuff like that, and everybody just kind of chilling. And like I said, I just be like one of these times I was going to get the lady, and we just going to go to San Francisco and get one of these like 80s clubs and just kind of, you know, go out there and just do our thing. Because really, like you said, the music isn't really music to dance to nowadays anyway. So it's all different, but it was great being there. Like I said, when the house party came out and we were that age, and it was so crazy because it's funny how you could be from a different city and people know that you're not from that city, and you always go check out the girls that's not in your town. So if you're from Vallejo, where I'm from, you go check out the girls in Richmond and Oakland. The thing is, when you go to those house parties and you are not from there, and the girls might be digging you or whatnot, and the dudes are like, who is this? and you realize that you are in the wrong place. It's just funny how that goes. So we had like, make sure we had good friends in each city, and they'd be like, man, if they ask you, my cousin, that's your saving grace. Otherwise, you are not making it out here if they sniff out that you are not from their town.
I don't know about partying in North Richmond back then. Y'all have fun, but
off of Barrett, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know about North Richmond.
I'm just glad that, you know, me and my friends, we survived it, because it was a interesting time. But the music was on point, and it was the perfect soundtrack for the time. And that's why I was so excited about this concert. But okay, let's start this right. 5, 4, 3, 2. It's Jay back in with another one. And tonight I have with me Calvin Michaels. How's it going?
It is going great. It's almost Friday.
That's right. Hey, man. So I know you already did a recap of this concert, and I was watching it, and that's how I knew that you did it, because I was watching it. And then I quickly tried to contact you and say, hey, I know you just did this. Would you mind doing it again with me? Because I seen the same concert and I would love to discuss it with you. And you said yes, and you're here now, and I appreciate it. And so the concert we're going to talk about tonight is the Legacy Tour. It's like a 30-city tour that includes New Jack Swing Reunion with all the original members of Guy, which Guy, for me, to see young brothers that clean cut and smooth with a vibe to them, you know, with Teddy, Aaron, and Damien, man, it was craziness. And I was always confused by the album cover because it didn't look like the same guy. When I saw the video, it didn't match the album cover. That's another story. But then this concert also has New Edition, Key Sweat, and Tank. I guess it's going to mark the first time in over 15 years that Guy has been together, because they've been going through their stuff. So this made it really extra special for me to be able to see Guy. Now, I really wanted to see New Edition again and Key Sweat, because he stayed relevant and good for a long time. But even past him, his commercial success, I still rode with him because he always had great music. So, you know, even when he did like little transitions or group things with LSG and different things like that, or just producing other people's stuff, and or him having special guest on his albums, he always really seemed to grow. Yeah, in his radio show, which they advertised a lot at the concert, which I thought that was cool. But yeah, it was really something. It was really something. So what was your overall thoughts, or what was your feelings about the show?
Yeah, I was happy to go. I think New Edition still has maybe one more big tour in them, but I think we're coming to an era where you might not always get all six anymore. And I'm only saying that because of Bobby, and it seems like his health is starting to really become something that's affecting him. Because even for my show, he had just been hospitalized 2 days before, so we didn't even know that he would be there. Oh. And so with my show, you know, it was still really, really great, but Bobby had to really slow down and just take it easy, because, you know, he's had 2 heart attacks and a stroke, and 2 children die. You know, life happens sometimes. Right. So I really wanted to make an effort to go out, because I was like, I don't know if I'll get to see this again. And one of the things I've been doing for years, especially after Whitney and Michael and Prince died, I was like, let me make sure I catch all of these people while I can. Because, you know, once they start retiring, or illness kicks in, or Father Time calls them home, you know, it's just shoulda, coulda, woulda. And I'm so mad because I never saw either of those three. Well, at least with Michael, he wasn't touring in the U.S. by the time I was old enough to buy tickets anyway. But Prince, I always get mad because he had just been in D.C. a few months earlier. And I was like, oh, I'll catch him on the next one. Prince is always doing a show. Yeah. And Prince died. And then with Whitney, she hadn't toured the U.S. since the late 90s. But at least I saw her at BET Honors, but she didn't perform. So I just wanted to make sure I went. So to get to see New Edition as a whole, I've seen Velvet DeVoe at one point. I've seen Teddy Riley, and I've seen Aaron Hall separately. Keith Sweat I saw in Atlanta a few summers ago, and I still haven't seen Tank because I was late and missed the Tank portion. But yeah, I was just happy to go. So it was a really great time. New Jack Swing, like I've been saying, is one of my favorite genres of music in regard to R&B. It's just a good time. It's just high energy. It just reminds me of just, because I was about 3, 4, 5 during like the, well, maybe not even that old. But as far as like those early adolescent years with the peak of New Jack Swing before it started to slow down, that was kind of my right before kindergarten year. So all of those songs just give me really good memories. So I just really wanted to make sure I went. And I love that so many seasoned acts are now in a space where they're booking arena tours again. And they're not just scrambling. I used to say that in my R&B is Dead series. I was always saying people should do more collaborative tours, because There's no reason why the big heavy metal bands from the 80s can sell out stadiums. And then, you know, all of our R&B legends are barely booking out a theater. So right. I love that with the emergence of social media and new generations being introduced to the different acts, especially with New Edition having the miniseries, you know, it brings in a new wave of fans. So I made sure I was going to go. I didn't mean to be so long with it, but I got my heart.
No, I get it. I felt the same way. I remember when Any Heartbreak came out. I remember when Candy Girl came out, actually, yeah. When I was in sixth grade. And I remember everybody thought that they were girls. Like, are those girls? Mm-hmm. Are those guys? Those, you know, remember the album. A friend of mine brought it into class and played it. But yeah, I felt the same way. It's been a long time since I've seen them. Like I said, I did a lot of concerts and stuff back in 89 when I was in high school. So I saw a lot of people when they were coming out, a lot of these songs when they came out, like Heavy D, just all this new Jack sound and all that kind of stuff. Like when it was really hitting, wasn't really old enough to go to clubs, but yeah. It was still like, you know, the music was still there and going when I was old enough to go to clubs and stuff. But it was definitely my soundtrack growing up. It's funny because they were kind of, like the lyrics and stuff, like they were mature, right? But then it also had a young energy to it as well. So it's almost kind of like, even though it wasn't the same, like they say, oh, you know, New Edition's like the new Four Tops or whatever, or Temptations and things like that. No, it's different. Guy is different than the OJs, right? Or the Gap Band. Even though they're like the Gap Band, they're not like the Gap Band in a different way. They found a balance where, even though it's highly similar, they found their groove and their niche in within that, which is hard to do, which is powerful. And I think that's why they were able to be different enough to kind of stand out the way they did. And then all the groups kind of benefited from it because everybody kind of had to have a new Jack kind of sound. Even older artists coming back would have to have a new Jack kind of vibe going. But yeah, I'll Be Sure, all that stuff. The New Jack City movie, and yeah, it was definitely the sound of the time. That was really, really cool. But when I saw it, the person who I thought stood out the best and surprised me was Bobby. Bobby sounded great.
Really good, right?
Yes, and he had some steps in. I was shocked. I remember seeing him back in the day and he couldn't really hold a note. So I was impressed now. I was already ready going in there ready to forgive him. And
right.
You know what? Just like, it's a write-off. Okay. We're just going to be like, go Bobby. Like, we're just going to give him love regardless. And he was actually doing it. I looked at my lady. I was like, Is Bobby breaking it down?
Like he y'all got Bobby where he didn't have to cut back. Like we got the just off the IV machine Bobby. But I'll say vocally, like you're saying, that's the best I've heard him sound, at least since about 2005. I was like, whoa, okay, I didn't expect that at all. But yeah, he wasn't doing no dancing. He did about one step and said, that's all y'all get, because they came out the ground, because at first we didn't know he would even be there. But I saw the six pools at the stage. I'm like, oh, he's going to be there. Somebody's coming out of the hole. And so he came up, and they get to screaming. And as soon as they go into that first number with all the dancing, Bobby walked right off. I was like, all right, we'll see him in about 30 minutes, y'all.
That's funny.
Bobby was that vocally, he sounded really, really good. I just hope his health can get to where he needs it to be. That was really, that was pleasantly surprising vocally.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. And he seemed like he slimmed down a little bit since the last time I seen him. And he did a couple steps and stuff. And then he did his usual thing where he does with the boys when he gets to a part or album or something that he wasn't part of. He'll play around the steps behind it. He obviously don't get it. And then he just like walk off like, oh, you guys can have it. You guys got this. But like I said, he was on point. The person that I was surprised wasn't quite on point, I didn't know what was wrong, was Johnny Gill. And it was interesting because I had seen him on, I guess, The Essence, maybe. He was on there, and I
heard. Oh, last summer when they did. Yeah.
And it sounded a little bit different. I couldn't really tell if it was a microphone or what, but he sounded kind of different. And I seen him on something else, and he didn't quite sound right. And so I will say this. When it came to his regular singing, he sounded great. I guess it's weird. I don't know how to exactly say it, but the bottom part of his voice where it gets deep, that was gone. He just kind of had the higher part. So when he did the Word to the Mother beginning part, that high and all that, he had that on point. So anything high and all that was fine. But if it was anything low, it was gone. And even when he tried to do his like Luther kind of do-do-do-do-do, he couldn't even do it. He's like, he literally did. And I'm like, what's wrong?
Maybe it was your show. I wonder how many shows they had between, because he was good on my show. He was in good part. He almost got on my nerves because I was like, all right, wrap it up. Because one of them songs, he did one of the reprises where it's just him and wailing for about 4 or 5 minutes. This was good, but wrap it up.
Yeah.
But he was in really good voice that day. So I don't know. Sometimes, you know, they touring can wear you down.
Yeah, yeah,
and
Johnny
already does a lot already. So
yeah. So I was kind of concerned. And I thought, like, why, if it's not working, why not just cut it short? Like, you don't have to still do it. Well, maybe you do, maybe because of the timing and stuff, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that he was still going with it. But like I said, the high part and the regular part was fine. Anything for any kind of bottom, it was kind of, and I was kind of concerned anyway because I didn't know how he's gonna be, because I was kind of wondering. And so when Keith Sweat, man, he did his thing. I love Keith Sweat. I listen to Keith Sweat all the time.
You was sober at your show?
Yeah.
Okay, I seen videos. Mine too. All okay, right.
I seen videos of him and the Henny. He's singing to his love, the Henny. But he was on point, right? He was on point. So he had a segment where he did like an LSG tribute. So it had Gerald LaVert, right? And I was thinking, like, is Johnny gonna come out?
Johnny didn't come out.
And I was like, uh-oh, Johnny's in trouble. He's trying to save his voice or something because he's not coming out. When does he not? Johnny. He seemed like to me the type would be like, he may not even be in the song, but if he's a friend of yours and you know it, he'll walk out and do background vocals for you. He seemed like the type that would just do something like that. So when he didn't come out for LSG, like the reunion kind of type thing, I was kind of concerned. But like I said, he sounded much better than what I heard of him recently. But like I said, it was just something a little off, but he's still Johnny.
Yeah, I think the growlers, the ones that do all the grunting and growling, if you... It's already like not a good technique to use, but it sounds really good. And I think you do it so much over time, it really can wear your voice down. So I don't know if, I don't really know what his touring track record is as far as how much he tours, but I feel like, you know, sometimes, cause I was saying this about Mary's last show, Mary's voice is still there, but she sounds a lot more tired as of late. And I think it's from almost over touring, cause she'd been touring since about 2016, back and forth. But her stamina is not the same. It's still Mary. She's still great. And then again, age kicks in as well. Your voice gets a little darker, and some of those songs that are written in higher keys, you got to kind of rearrange. But yeah, I think some of the ones that have been doing a lot of touring, it's that wear and tear kind of kicks in. Your voice gets darker, especially if you're not using the best of techniques. And Johnny gets the growling and grunting, and yeah, that larynx is fighting him. But he sounded pretty good at my show.
Yeah, but Keith, he was impressive. Like I said, I forgot how good he was. That background singer?
Romeo Johnson was was one of the guys. Now, Romeo Johnson was Janet's background singer from the Janet Tour. And he was on Michael Jackson's Millennium State, the show he did. He did one in Berlin, he did one in South Korea. Romeo was singing for Michael on that, and he did a few other artists.
So question, was he the one that sang Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid?
I want to ask him. I'm not sure, because where I was
that
sitting,
was on point.
I couldn't see. I could kind of just see them, but I couldn't make out the face. I don't know if that was him or not, but I mean, it could have been, because I think
it was good.
Three or four of them up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That chick that was sick, that background singer. Oh. Yeah, I had to look her up because I was like, that voice. How are you going to do Jackie McGee and Athena Cage? So for you to fill in for Jackie and Athena, that ain't nothing to play with. Because they're two different types of singers, too.
She does music. I was looking up her stuff. So she does music. She has a song. One of my subscribers was like, oh, her name is, you know, Maya Milan. It gave me the whole scoop. I was like, okay. She does music. She has a song. I haven't had a chance to listen to anything.
Okay.
She has a song called Get Back and another song called The Struggle. I think her music is a bit more current sounding.
Okay.
With like what the wave is now. But yeah, her voice was, she was amazing.
She was.
Really, really good. I think the last set of background singers I've been like super, super impressed with, Monica tours with a really good group of supporting vocalists. Sometimes I'm like, Monica, you ain't even got to sing. You can just let them take it on. But yeah.
I seen Monica about 2 years ago. Well, right before the pandemic, I saw her. She's on tour with Brandy, her, Faith Evans, and some other folks.
Good show.
Right. Yeah. It was really good.
Monica sounds really good now too. She just had some kind of corrective surgery, so she sounds way better now than a few years ago.
Okay.
I saw her at the Escape, the Great Escape show from 2017. Okay. And she sounded okay. She didn't sound bad, but she was a little under the note on all the songs. I was like, maybe she got a cold or something. But when I saw her a few weeks ago, she sounded, that's probably the best I've heard her since the early 2000s. Like, her voice just sounded very refreshed, very youthful, very healthy.
That's good, because she has a great tone. Her song, she's kind of, you know, she sings in a pocket, so it's really nice to hear. She has a, but I love Brandy too. Now, her style, she got like a bohemian style she'd be kind of rocking, which is different. But I guess they're both guilty of having interesting styles.
Yeah.
but we love them in spite of. So I was there in time to see Tank. I have to be honest, I'm not a fan of Tank's. Now, I know he's a great singer. I like his voice and stuff. But that style of, you know, like, he's definitely singing to somebody, and it's definitely not me. You know, that's fine. And like I say, I know he writes music for people and write hits for people. You know, great voice himself and all this kind of stuff. He even seems like a cool person. I watch his podcast he does with Jay Valentine.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Which is really good, because they kind of know what the questions to ask, because it's kind of like inside baseball. So they kind of know all the stuff. So, but it was cool to see him. But he was, you know, it's a, you know, a matter of time before the shirt comes off and all that kind of stuff. So you see the little gun show and whatever. So
I think Tank just needed Tank to me. Like I said, I appreciate the vocals. I just don't think he ever had the songs that really connected. I think what he's done for other artists has been great.
Yeah.
Other than Slowly and maybe like one or two songs, I never really played his stuff like that. But I always had appreciation for his live show. Because I thought that was a very interesting addition to the show. I thought maybe I would have even called up Tevin Campbell. I'm a lady. Yes, I am. To love you.
Forever. And ever, baby. Come and love me forever.
Somebody that would have come from that same era.
Exactly. Or Christopher Williams.
Christopher Williams.
I'll be sure, but he's not ready yet. But yeah, Christopher Williams, somebody like that.
One of them, H-Town, they only got like one or two songs, but they were on that Escape show I saw. Like one of those, from that era.
Or have Silk.
Silk. Yeah, I would have took them.
Yeah.
Because Tank is much later.
Yes,
they're
way
in the same
later.
Age bracket, but he, well, no, they're not even really the same age bracket.
No, he's younger, but he's later though.
He's seasoned, but yeah, I would have definitely got somebody else from that era in time to kind of fit a bit better. But, you know, same audience. So I understand why he was on the ticket.
Yeah, so he came out, did his thing, did a few songs. He brought out Jay Valentine. You know, Jay's from the Bay. So he brought him out there. He did his single. And to be honest, like I said, they did great, but I was ready for dinner. And so up next we had Guy.
Teddy, you ready?
Yep, yep.
Hey, yo, Nasty Man, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Crazy Legs?
You know what I'm saying.
And that just meant so much to me. The lyrics, the vibe, the style, they was kind of like everything. If you talk about Black Man on Point, it'd be a picture of them three dudes standing strong, you know, next to each other doing their thing. Videos and stuff like Less Chill and collaborations they did with, like, you know, Heavy D and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, knowing them doing the background vocals for Bobby Brown, hearing Aaron's voice in the background, just to see them, Crazy Legs doing his thing. So to see them on stage doing their thing. And it was funny because I told myself for this show, because usually when I do shows and stuff, I'm always videoing all the time, right? And to be honest, I never really go back and watch the video, but I was thinking like this time, I'm just going to enjoy the moment. I see everybody with their phones up. And I normally do it myself. I'm going to keep my phone down. I'm going to watch the show, be in the moment, and try to enjoy it. And plus, I know with all these phones, it got to be hundreds, if not thousands, of videos and whatnot. Right? I was wrong. Because when I went to look for it, I didn't see a lot of videos on there. So either people are not posting them or they haven't got around to it yet. But it was funny because when I told myself that, I see, you know, like a ruckus in the crowd, right? And it's kind of like coming towards, I'm like, we're on the floor a couple sections back, and I'm like, all these people and stuff, and I hear people kind of making noise, and I'm like, what's going on? And guess who's walking up the aisle?
Oh, crawling through the seats.
Aaron Hall, right? So I'm like, damn. I bust out my phone. As soon as I said I was going to stay off my phone, I'm going to enjoy the moment, I had to take out my phone, and Aaron Hall down here, security guards up here, and he's walking past, right? Just right past me. And I've got a good video of him walking right past me. Okay, quick side story. I have a friend that was supposed to be going with us, him and his wife, and they got sick and they couldn't go. And so he ended up selling the ticket. So we had two strangers next to us. But I know those tickets went by fast. You know, it wasn't going to be a problem for them to sell them. But I really wish they could have been there, because those two women that were sitting on the side of me and my lady, the security guard moved them out of the way so Aaron could stand next to us on the chair and sing Let's Chill. Oh, baby. Yeah. It was just incredible. It was a trip. And I know that before he's been having issues with his voice and stuff, and he was in the hospital not too long ago. He had surgery not too long ago. Was he 100? No, but he was on point for me. To me, he brought it. And it was just good to just see him and, you know, like he was still fighting for it. You know, he wasn't giving no lazy show. He wanted to touch the people. He wanted to be out there do his thing. And it really meant a lot to me. And I thought it was just so cool. Even though I went for New Edition, really Guy was a special thing, because I thought it'd be harder to even see them together, more so than getting all six of New Edition. It'd be harder to see, you know, Aaron. And it's just so crazy. It's like, when they're on their own, they do Guy songs. When Teddy's on his own, he does Guy songs. Just
get together,
scoot next to each other, and just get the money, get the bag.
I'm still mad about what happened in '89, because we was at the mall and you said something I ain't like. They used to be holding on to stuff. So yeah, I'm glad you were able to get that together, because I don't think they performed together since they split.
Yeah, like they said like the last time they performed, and I think, and they talking about, they said 15 years, but I'm thinking that that probably was a thing where Damien and Teddy was out there, and Teddy was doing his special guest kind of stuff. And then maybe Aaron came one day and he dragged him on stage or something, more so than a full on concert with all three of them together. But yeah, I was really impressed. And like I said, so he made me stop my no phone rule, because it's just like, if some, you know, you might miss some magic. So
I guess with the phone, I'm horrible at recording, because I only record bits in like 20 second bits, because then I want to watch. I just get just enough to say, okay, I saw that piece. Or if there's a song, like with the New Edition show, the only song I recorded in full was Still in Love. That's the only one.
Ooh, that was beautiful.
Everything, because I knew it was going to be good. As soon as I saw the lights, and I was like, let me record this. They about to cut up on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, normally I can't sit and just record, because I want to see it. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's some people, they go to shows and they got this whole show. They record. I'm like, who does that? And then plus people walking in front of the camera. I don't want to do that. I want to like experience the show.
Right.
Now, I will say, if I see somebody twice for the same tour, because sometimes I'll catch somebody like Janet, I'll always catch her twice. One show I'll go and just really enjoy. The other one, I'm like, let me get whatever I really like from the last show to make sure I got it. But yeah, that idea of just recording, it sucks the energy out of it. I think a lot of entertainers, I guess they've adjusted to it, but I know when that first started, they hated that. As far as everybody just standing there recording, because you want the crowd to jump with you and feel you, but everybody's trying to get the right angle. Right. It kind of just kills the momentum of the energy. I feel like crowds are very different now than just like 15 years ago.
Yeah, because they think of it now probably as promotion, what it really is. So they think,
and I also think it sucks too, because you can't have no slip-ups, because it's going to be on YouTube. So that rawness, so I think that strive to be even more perfect on stage kind of sometimes chips away at the rawness. So a lot of the shows are a lot more programmed too now, because which also gets you caught up. If your mic ain't on, we're going to know when we see five different cities with the same backing track on YouTube. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, yeah, it was a very streamlined show as far as like how the introductions ran into each other. I thought that was pretty cool.
I appreciate that.
It was in the subway substation and stuff, and you stopping off at Key Sweat, then you going down to Teddy Rock.
I loved all that, yeah.
Yeah, and I really...
It didn't look cheap. I was like, good, they put some money into the show.
Yeah,
and I think it was smart that they shared house band background singers, so you're not just waiting. Like, it's cool to get the DJ set, but after the first or second DJ set, the hype wears down. So...
Yeah.
I'm glad that it just flowed.
Yeah, yeah. I really like how they did like the Kings of New Jack with Teddy and with Keith. The jackets and stuff. I thought that was pretty dope. But I like how he was doing like, I got Key Sweat. And that was his introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So he stopped at Key Sweat. He didn't go to Modi and all that. And Key Sweat comes out and they kind of Wonder Twin powers activate. So I thought that was really dope to have them get together and do that. Obviously they grew up together, came from the same town. So it was just good to see how it was connected, because it is connected. And it's just so weird when things, you know, came from each other, you know, not acknowledging it. It's kind of insulting, even for somebody who not a part of it, but just see it. It's kind of like, If you got the peanut butter and jelly, how come you're not a sandwich? Mm-hmm. What's up? So I like how it feels like one big old thing together. And that's it's almost kind of like what BBD and Johnny Gill and Raul Tresvant and Bobby Brown and New Edition, how they come in and out with each other, how they're from the same place. And I heard you mention this too, which I thought was cool because I noticed it too, is how Bobby may not sing a part of Every Little Step and Ralph sings it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because that was a thing about Ralph being on those backing tracks, like that. So it's just funny the stuff that kind of gets lent in there, or Ricky is singing on with Bobby and stuff, you know. So I love that it feels right, even though the songs they kind of did separately are not New Edition type sounds, but to hear them together was just beautiful. So I really enjoyed Keith Sweat, like I said, all the songs he had, all the hits he had, his LSG stuff. And then after Keith Sweat was New Edition?
Yeah.
New Edition, boy. Like I said, coming out that stage like that, that was just, the energy in that place was crazy. Was crazy.
What city? They came to Oakland or San Oakland. Francisco?
Oakland okay. Arena.
Oracle. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And Still in Love. Still in love. Was one of my favorites. That's one of my favorite songs.
With the blue. That was a good one.
It was almost like a paradise kind of thing. And then you got like, you know, Ricky and Ralph kind of standing there kind of like together. And that song is just beautiful anyway. It's just funny how with that album, how the only songs I really truly liked and truly go to back to these days are the ones that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did. Like, I quit playing around. Let them produce your album. Like, they looking for stuff to do. I don't understand how come they can't just get together and do a full album with them again instead of all this other stuff? I know they tried the stuff with Puff Daddy and they tried some, you know, other stuff with
I wasn't producer. Crazy over that. What song was that? Dun, 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 dun. It was a remix. Then they did a video for it. It's off the Home Again album. Oh, God, what's that song called? It was cool. It just didn't.
They were kind of treating them like they were 112, and they're not 112.
Because even with the second, when they signed the Bad Boy.
Yeah.
And, The Hot Tonight, that was cool for what it was. But at that point, I want to say they were probably my age at that point, probably like their mid-30s. So like trying to push them like they were still 21 just didn't work right.
What's interesting too, the harmonies and stuff is not the same. They keep them separate. You got to be the right kind of writer for that kind of stuff. That's why Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis does so well for them, because that's the only time they sound like they're actually a group instead of all these single people singing on the same track. Same thing with In Vogue. In Vogue needs those producers. Right? They may not like them. I don't know what the issue is with them or whatever, but they do their vocals right. They sound like a group.
So the song I was thinking about, it's off Home Again. It's You Don't Have to Worry. I thought it was cool. It was safe. It was, to be fair, that's what everybody was doing. Because I think back to like SWV's Release of Tension and releasing the Someone, and I'm like, that's cool. But Rain was right there, and When You Cry was right there. But I understand y'all were trying to get the hip-hop connection money.
Now, I recently heard something about them, about that situation, and it was in between labels, and the person that was over their album was a new person. The people that they had before, they got rid of, and they got a new person there, and that's how they ended up with that album. And to save the album, they got the song Rain, and the song Rain was already recorded and made for Brandy.
Oh, wow.
And they pulled it from Brandy.
I think I'm glad they got it. I think Brandy would have been fine with it, but I would have liked Brandy to have that song maybe in the later 2000s when she was older. Little young Brandy was cool, but Coco, I'm sorry, y'all not.
Oh yeah.
It. But I think with In Vogue, my favorite. I thought I would have loved to see the direction they would have gone in if they had more like Runaway Love type tracks. I thought that was a great usage of just the harmonies they have.
Yeah,
it's a smooth pocket. That's like one of my favorite singles they have. And even with Modern Times, like you're saying, it would be dope if they could just get back with Foster McElroy.
Yeah, Foster McElroy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I mean, I bought their last album from 2017, and it was okay.
Me too. Okay
song here and there. But I just think. I understand like a lot of the current producers don't really want to work with the seasoned vets because they know you're not going to get a radio hit because radio is not going to play you minus Urban AC. But I really think sometimes it's going back to the formula that people already want. Because sometimes trying to latch in with whatever producers they are working with, I'm like, I don't know if these really capture, you know, the essence of what they have. Now, I know they did more writing and stuff, but because I even said with TLC's last album, too, I was like, as much as I loved them, I didn't like that album at all. And that was them trying to, I understand trying to be current and stuff, too. But man, I was like, okay, I mean, I like the single, I guess, but
I like the one too. And that video was cute, but they kind of like having a backyard party kind of
thing. Yeah, that was cool. And I was listening, I'm like, and then it wasn't even mixed right. I'm like, yo, come on.
So ask me this, what's your theory on this? Well, TLC is a good example. Okay, now, you know, you got the two singers and you got one rapper. Left Eye have some problems. And it's to the point where even their hit songs like Waterfall, they're pulling her verse off of there, right? Because she's problematic. So you're hearing the version of Waterfalls without, you know, Left Eye. And so the song's still a hit. And some people ain't tripping about it. Some people like, where she at? But they kind of know. Most of the songs are T-Boz and Chili singing, you know? And then it's like a little rap in there in between or whatever, whatever. Why is it, like when Left Eye passed, how come the group kind of fell apart? And I'm not talking about like mentally. I'm talking about if the majority of the songs are them singing anyway, some songs Left Eye is not even rapping on. Or if she's on them, they got radio versions without her on there and the songs are still on point. How is that so off after something like that happens? Do you have any idea of why and how?
Because I was telling somebody, we were talking about this a good minute back, because, yeah, Urban AC Radio wasn't playing the Left Eye version, so, like, no right. Scrubs, Waterfalls, and even Donnell Jones, you know what's up, they always take Left Eye off. But I think because Left Eye, to me, something about the cohesiveness of the three just worked. It just, something about that three, was God sent for some reason. And then, again, it seems like she was the creative vision behind a lot of things. For the visionary part. Like, cause even I'll say musically, the album that came after she died, 3D, I thought was actually all right. I didn't think it was super great, but I didn't think it was as bad as people were trying to paint it out to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the challenge they ran into was Left Eye died when they were in their early 30s. That's right at the cusp of when the labels start trying to either phase you out if you haven't blown up already, and they want to bring in the younger folks. And I think with Left Eye being gone, the labels just automatically figure nobody's gonna care because it's not the three of them anymore. Social media is not out yet. And I'm saying this in my Mariah So What Happened episode I've been working on too. That's still that era where once radio and the big folks up top say you're no longer cool, that's it. As opposed to today where people on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, they can literally revive the careers of people just through word of mouth. TLC, in my opinion, just didn't get that luxury. And then Left Eye dies in April. They go back in the studio the end of May and the album comes out September. There wasn't even enough time for the world to adjust to the idea of a duo. Cause I've said, when I listen to Fan Mail, the very last song in the album, the Don't Pull Out of Me Yet, it's just T-Boz and Chili. They sound amazing. I was like, they really could have rebranded and kind of gone that route. Maybe even gone, well, okay, we're gonna focus a bit more on the adult R&B audience. We might not be able to cross into pop the same way, like we might not get another No Scrubs, but we can definitely get a Dig It On You here and there.
Right,
Yeah, because like you're saying, a lot of their songs, Baby, 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 Dig It On You, their biggest album, Left Eye's only on one single, which is Waterfalls. She's on the Creep remix, but most people don't remember it. And then again, Red Light Special, Dig It On You, those are all.
And the songs still did good because even when they pulled her off of them, the songs were going well, even without her being on there. So
I think they didn't have, the backing wasn't there. They also didn't perform. So that kind of kills it a little bit. But the promotion for that out for 3D is very weird because, again, there's no tour. There's no performances. It's just interviews. And, of course, because Left Eye has just passed, everything is sad. You're not even excited. And then I don't think Girl Talk was the right single. The whole male bashing was cool in 99, 2000, 2001. But by the time we get into 02, 03, it's like, dang, well, how much more y'all got to say about us?
Right.
I just think they were trying to use a formula that was already done for it. And TLC, in my opinion, always was really good at setting a trend. I think 3D followed what was already out. And that's kind of what set them back. And by then, Destiny's Child is blown up and the new groups. And, you know, some people just, I don't know. But I do think TLC definitely could have had a bigger run. I think T-Boz and Chili should have released something around 06, 07. And it should have gone the approach of a more adult R&B sound. And they could still be, you know, current and stuff, because people have always still liked the two of them. They've always, even now, have still found a way to stay relevant commercially, whether it's them doing the tours or just on TV and stuff. But they definitely had one more album in them. And I'm not including 2017, but
yeah,
yeah, their sound, I don't know, they got lost in the mix somewhere.
Yeah, but it just shows how important she was to the whole thing, like you just kind of said, yeah. You know, but it's just funny because you wouldn't necessarily, on paper, it doesn't add up the same way.
Yeah, and that was a weird thing, because I'll say on the 3D album, there's some really, I think some of their best songs are on there. Like, I think Damaged, even though it's like pop rock, I think that's one of their best tracks.
I love that song.
I was like that. And they did release it, which yes. was, but I think by the time it got released, the wave had already come. So was it their best charting single on the album? I don't know. It actually did pretty decent. It just, the wave was already gone by then. I think Hands Up was a decent song. I just don't think the video fit for the song at that time. So there was some So Dumb, Rafael Sadiq producing that. Like, if they would have kept that route,
that
would have worked.
Yeah.
And so I think the Girl Talk kind of quickie songs are cool for 2002, but they didn't age that well. And then it just, I don't know. But I don't know, because we've seen other groups either lose a member because the member quits or something, and they still thrive and keep it moving. So, because it's
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Yeah. Well, kind of like back to what we were talking about before with New Edition. If Ralph would have really left and Johnny would have been the lead of New Edition, that would have been a different thing. I don't know if I would have accepted it.
If it was Johnny and no Ralph?
Yeah, Johnny and no Ralph, you know, because when I saw that movie and they were kind of talking about behind the scenes of how he felt and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I felt that way too. This is how petty I am. So it's like, did they come out 89? I know.
Was it Heartbreak?
Yeah. Was it 89, 88, 89?
Going in 89?
Something like that. I think I was in middle school about to go to high school. So it was that summer, I think. But you know how they have that song, Where It All Started From? Where they're kind of doing a diss to New Kids on the Block and all the other
Wait, it kicks the album off. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So it starts off with that. And Johnny says this part where, you know, something about like, we don't like when they're biting our material, right? Mm-hmm. I was thinking, Johnny, that's not your material. You wasn't there. You wasn't there, Johnny. They're biting New Edition's material. They ain't biting your material.
It was interesting. I feel like it took me, I was barely old enough to remember, but I think, I just thought he didn't fit at first.
Yeah,
it worked with Ralph being in there because they counterbalanced, but I think if he would have just had the 3 plus Johnny, I don't know if it would work because Johnny's voice was so heavy. Yeah. Even on any Heartbreak, like, you better be right. Like, wait a minute. Everybody sing it for me. Bad as this. So like, wait a minute. But I think it worked on, you know, you get to Can You Stand the Rain or and it works on those. But I think that's a tough one, because I always felt, especially because I feel like they always made Ralph dumb down his voice in early years to kind of keep it youthful sounding. For some reason that works with Ralph but with Johnny.
They do balance each other well, really well. Almost, and it's funny because as well as like Still in Love, you see Ricky and Ralph playing off each other, which sounds beautiful. But the contrast between Ralph and Johnny is a bigger, it stands out more in a different kind of way. Because also, like I said, because Ricky, even though they sound different, Ricky and Ralph, and I think Ricky's voice is kind of like more consistent and more on point than
he
even Ralph.
Had more leads.
Yeah. So
he should have led a lot more songs.
So he really didn't shine until BBD, which is, you know, and he got some of my, you know, Can I See You Smile Again and all those songs. You know, Ricky's voice is just so, and I'm saying not say strong like the type of,
I agree, but compared to Ralph back then was thin voice king.
And so it's interesting that I guess I didn't mention it before, but Ralph sounded good on this tour. Now I've seen him on stuff before where he would sound like he was kind of being assisted a little bit, and always, like, especially with certain songs, they'll have his, you know, background vocals and whatnot, but sometimes, you know, it sounds like, you know, either he sounds a little gruffer or he sounds like a little assisted. But this one, he just seemed like he was in good form. He sounded like himself, and it was right on. And sometimes I feel like he's kind of taken for granted the fact that you're just used to him being there like that, and he has like a big load to carry. And so
I didn't realize, I'm like, dang, Ralph really do be singing like all these songs.
Yes. And the backgrounds too. And all
if you Ronnie, all you gotta do is dance a little bit. That's why he got energy the whole night.
That's why he's still
looking. That's because you ain't gotta say nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. That's why he still look young, because he had to do nothing. Yeah. So he can sit there and be young.
Now I do think they definitely have supporting tracks to help with the hooks, to fill it out some, but it's a good balance where you can still hit them with it. So it's a good mix. I actually prefer that they use that rather than
me too.
Trying to just hear the five or six raw voices together, because it's arena setting with a blending, it's just not going to go well sometimes. Yeah. So I think the mix is decent.
Yeah, and I think it's really neat that, you know, they're over 50 and they're doing songs like Candy Girl and Popcorn Love and Count Me Out, and it doesn't seem corny. That's amazing to me. You got six grown men standing there singing these songs together, and it just, for some reason, it just still feels right.
Right, because that would be like Britney singing Baby One More Time, right back when Britney still could perform. Like her doing like a Baby One More Time in 08, 09, she'd always have to remix the song so many different ways, because doing the original version, you're like,
right.
Or I think the Oops, I Did It Again, she just yanked off the set, but she don't even perform it no more. You know, some of those songs that were from her bubblegum era, it's just, they don't translate well over time. They're great songs for that time, but don't have that shelf life like a New Edition.
Right. The song got them in the door, but they can't still ride it. That's true. Because like I said, so to hear them do this medley, and I'm thinking like, they talk about like, is this the end? And like I said, Popcorn Love and Little Bit of Love. It's just like, man. And like I said, it's not even like you need to even have that high voice on that. Like, they're singing it as men now.
Yeah, they agree.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
and it still works. It still works for them. I think that says a lot, that you sit through that medley and it's just like, yeah, it's not corny at all. You still want to hear them sing those songs in that way, and it's really cool. I really enjoyed it. Growing up, when it came out, you wouldn't be able to tell me that Ralph would have my least favorite album out of all those folks.
Are you talking about his debut or the second album?
Any of them.
Oh, Lord.
Man, I love Ralph. Matter of fact, I love him on the Mo Money soundtrack. I liked his singles. I liked the stuff that he featured on. But his albums? Okay. Maybe because things are changing with the vibes and stuff like that, but that sensitivity, and that is kind of like, that's in the pocket. It's Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. It feels like that, right? Like you would think that, but if it seemed like it would have came out earlier, it just didn't fit the time for me. At the time when everything was kind of going.
Sensitivity to song or?
Yeah, sensitivity to song, the vibe of it.
So I watched, there's a guy who has a YouTube channel. He's like a big New Edition fan, and he does a video on like everything New Edition. So his thing is called Mr. DJ, like J-A-Y. Mm-hmm. So he did a video where he's talking about how, because remember, Ralph was supposed to go solo even before, well, Bobby had already gone solo, but Ralph, his album was supposed to come out before Don't Be Cruel.
Yeah.
And so the imaging that initially Ralph was going to have was pretty much the whole bad boy image that Bobby ended up having with Don't Be Cruel. And so in the video, he's talking about how with Ralph, you know, there were some pushbacks and everything. And so by the time the album comes out, the imaging and even the sound is shifted because Bobby has this massive era. And so it makes Ralph say, okay, well, what kind of image can I have? And that's where you get the whole sensual, sensitive kind of approach. I was like, oh, that's different. I will say Sensitivity I love, but to me, that would have been a third single after like two bigger, because, you know, you got Johnny who rubbed you the right way and all these big dance numbers and Fairweather Friend. Velvet DeVoe is, and I remember seeing an interview where they were talking about radio programmers didn't even know what to do with Poison at first. Like Poison was flopping for a quick minute before it finally got on. Or even by then, even the single Gangsta, that's that song they singing on the Fresh Prince episode.
Yeah, that came later though.
Yeah, that's much later. But like all of those songs just have this oomph to it. And here comes Smooth Ralph. I'm like, okay. Because I feel like if the Money Can't Buy Love is cool, but like you said, it's in that same pocket.
Right.
I don't know. I think those songs are dope, but I do think Sensitivity, that would have been a third single if I were A&R. He would have had something a bit more up-tempo. I know he had Stone Cold Gentleman, but I wasn't crazy over that one.
Me either. Like I said, the whole album was like, and I was expecting to love that album. If anybody was going to do an album, I would expect for his to be on point. And like I said, it just felt like, I don't know. It seemed like he has an identity already, but it seemed like he was trying to find it on that album too. Like, how do you find an identity when you already kind of have one? Or maybe he has one, but he don't want to bring the same thing he brought with New Edition. I don't know. I don't know, but I just never kind of understood how like that album, like even when it came out, like Sensitivity, like that was fine. And Rated R was kind of good because it's like, you know, it's kind of like a rap thing. And, you know, and Bobby's in the video for Stone Cold Gentleman. So he's kind of like showing he's down with his brother still. And I love that and stuff. But that album just didn't do it for me.
And I think 90 is just a weird year anyway, musically. There's some great music that came out, but 90 is a great time. But I feel like 90 is when New Jack Swing is shifting. It's still like, it's transitioning from the early Teddy Riley, you know, Teddy's Jam kind of productions and shifting a bit more. What's the song I can think of? MC about Trouble, Get a Grip, if you remember that one, or yeah. Make You Mine. Like, it's shifting where, I don't know, it hits a little bit harder before it slows down. Like, that. Yeah, so 90, because then you also got, like, Portrait, Here We Go. Which is a great one.
How is that the only song they got? I bought that. I remember buying that album thinking every song was going to be on.
Remember they had Honey Dip. I'm on a Honey Dip.
But still, it wasn't Here We Go. And not that he got to do the same song over again, but that bar was too high. It was nothing that was quite. That song was so good, it made him a one-hit wonder damn near. That song was that good for them and to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if I was thinking about them, Portrait, like I still bust out Portrait, you know, Here We Go. Cause it's just that, you know, it's New Jack-ish and it's kind of smooth. It's kind of like a progression to it. Like you're going a different place with it. Almost kind of like how, you know, Kyle West and I'll Be Sure was kind of New Jack, but they kind of had a different kind of vibe to that branch of it and stuff.
Yeah, 90 just, cause even like Mariah Carey Someday is technically a New Jack Swing song. And it's cool, but that ain't really one of my go-to songs. But I just think they didn't really know where it was going yet. So everybody's kind of just throwing something out there to see what's going to catch. Yeah, and I really think that sound of, I guess, that second wave of New Jack Swing, to me, you don't really get till about 91. By the time you start getting some of those Father MC songs, or I'll even say like SWV's, actually that's a bit later. I was going to say the first version of Right Here, but I think that's 92, 93.
What about Shanice, I Like Your Smile?
Even that one, I think that one's, I think that's what it worked for her and against her too, because it's kind of a song that fits in a pocket where you can't recreate that kind of sound. Because, okay, 90 to me, I think of, let me make sure I got my years right. I think of a whole bunch of songs that sound like Soul to Soul and Lisa Stansfield, but I feel like that song was 91. It's a weird year. Because then then you get to like 92 and you get to like a Jay Don't Walk Away. That's technically New Jack Swing, but look how different it is.
But that was way later too. Shouldn't have worked, but the song was so good, it worked. It extended the life of New Jack sound.
God. Okay, so Affection came out in 89. I'm thinking Lisa Stansfield. So yeah, 90 is just an interesting year to me. So I think with Ralph's project, because Bobby also had, remember he had Bobby come out after Don't Be Cruel, but there was an album that was supposed to come out in between that never came out. And he had a single come out in 90, I forgot what it was called. But that one's very different too.
Heard it?
He performed it at an award. So let me see what the song is called.
Okay.
You might remember it from, it had some radio playing and I think they yanked it or I don't know what they did. Okay. Bobby, let's see. Singles.
Yeah, because even that Bobby album, I love how it sounds, but it's almost kind of like it was too big of a gap in between his albums.
Too much time in between. And by then, Jack Swing was shifting. I think that's why, like, the version of Something in Common he released is very different. It's a bit smoother, because by the time you get into, like, mid-92 going into 93, even the New Jack Swing songs are a lot smoother. So look at how smooth, like, a Remember the Time is compared to, you know, Humping Around, which is very aggressive, hard hitting. Humping Around, I think, could have worked in 90, 91.
Yeah, it sure could have.
This Bobby. All right, what is this album called? He had a whole album that he like paused on because he even went on tour to prep for this album. And then so I don't know what happened.
So folks wasn't digging it?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's labeled stuff with MCA or what. But then, you know, there's like another year that goes by and then you get Bobby. I will say some of the songs on Bobby would have, or some of the songs that are on Bobby were songs that were initially for the album that got shelved.
Okay.
I think The Way Love Is.
I love that song.
I think that's one of the original, beautiful song. Tracks. What is this Bobby song called? Dang, man. Video essays. Here we go. This is Mystical Magic is what the album would have been called. And there was a song. I believe the song was called the same thing, but it was a project that was supposed to come out in 90. It never did. And then you get Bobby about 18 months later.
Okay. Do you know what the album is that came out around that time? And I wouldn't say it was New Jack, but it had a different kind of vibe to it that was really different, but it really stood out to me and I still love to this day. Karen White's Ritual of Love.
Is that's the one with, that's Superwoman?
No. Superwoman was produced by Babyface. This one was Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Ritual
of Love. The Way I Feel About You.
The way I
okay, there we go. All I said that reminds me of All Right. Yep.
Oh, that's probably why I like it.
Yeah, I used to always feel like they could have been cousins.
That's probably why I like that song so much. Because some songs, it's almost like a shorthand. You instantly like it, but it's probably because it's familiar to you.
Yeah.
That's funny. Thank you for that. Okay.
Karen should have had a few more years. I liked her.
Me too. I liked her a lot. I think she's very underrated. I think she's got,
she was nice. There was another leading lady out of the era that had a great run, but I always thought she was mean.
Who?
Jody.
Oh, okay.
Jody, yeah. I love her music, but she seems kind of mean. I'm like, man, you can't piss her off. She'd be blocking everybody on social media. I'm like, Lord, Jody.
And then you had Pebbles. Which is funny that, you know, that she started with what she started with, and then she hooks up with Babyface, and you have like that album. That album's brilliant because she got songs with like Babyface, Love Make Things Happen.
The one that has Giving You Benefit.
Yeah, and Love Make Things Happen.
It's before my time. Well, this is my time, but I was too little to pay attention.
Oh, that's true.
Telling You Love. Always.
That's it.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that album?
Yeah, so I know the first two albums. The third album, I don't really remember that well. That's the one from like the mid-90s. Yeah. That's the one that didn't do that good. But
that album got some great songs on it. And she got one that has Johnny Gill, who's singing background on it. He comes in at the end and he kind of brings it home. Pebbles, she's from the Bay Area too. That Budweiser Summerfest.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Babyface have concerts, right? And Guy has concerts. Teddy Pendergrass have concerts. A couple other people. They do this thing where it's called ladies night, ladies only. They come to my town and guys aren't allowed. They're just women only concerts.
Oh, like the ones that Teddy used to do those. Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, blah, blah, blah's coming to town. It's like for ladies only or ladies night. And I'm like, what? And so I was pissed. I held a grudge. Pebbles on the Summer Jam. She does her song, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I want to bring a friend out. And she brings out Babyface, right? So Babyface is not going on tour in general. When he does do stuff, it's kind of small stuff and everybody can't come. And we're in the height of Whip Appeal. Now, Whip Appeal alone on the album is great. But the Whip Appeal video, where it takes place at Club La Coco.
Good evening, I'm Holly Robinson. And we're back here live at the Club La Coco.
Oh, when he got the white suit on?
When he got the suit on, and LA is the conductor, and you got the women like on almost in these like, you know, pink dresses with the gloves, and they snap it through the gloves. You can't snap through gloves, but in the video, they snap the glove. That snap, that that version of Whip Appeal, man, my favorite.
Because he released, there's like a second album, because I know there's the Tender Lover, but there's another album that comes, like, what is it called? Because it was like some kind of remix album, and that version was on the remix album, right?
Yes, yes, because the original version wasn't like that. So yeah,
it was very different. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It's almost similar to when Bobby Brown did his remix album, when he did like Rock With You, and he would have like, that, like he said, had a line about, you know, listen to Marvin Gaye, and he had his wake up in the background. Mm-hmm. So they kind of layer it with the actual songs that he's listening to, which I love. But anyway, I'm gonna bring out a friend. So she brings out Babyface, right? And they do Love Make Things Happen. And Babyface is on point, look like he's on the video. And we're just like, man, dude, you should be on this tour. We just like, we wanted more. And she's like, you gonna do something for them? And she's like, yeah. She's like, do something for the audience. You know, I'm bringing you to my town. And he's like, all right, I'll do something. That made the whole concert for me, because I would never have seen that performance anywhere else. And it was funny because I heard on an interview not too long ago where he's talking about he didn't really tour the album. He was busy working on different stuff. So he really didn't get a chance to really get out for it. And he mentioned the Budweiser Fest and Pebbles bringing him out. And I was like, I was at that concert. That's the concert I saw. And that was just like full circle. But I thought it was really, really cool. Yeah, back in the day, you pay $20 and you see 30 groups.
Yeah, good show. Now you got to pay $500-$600 to sit in the back. Right. You don't even know if they're going to show up.
exactly. But you see people from LL Cool J to Digital Underground to, you know, BBD. And it was just a good time. Alexandria O'Neal, love his stuff. Sherelle, her solo albums were great. So it was just like...
I like Alexandria O'Neal's New Jack Swing sounding songs. If you let it, that was my song. That was a good one.
Yes. And it was kind of, he had a weird fusion of rock and kind of New Jack. Jimmy Jam.
I didn't realize how big he was in the UK. He was huge over there. He sold out Wembley like six nights in a row.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Wow. Alexander. All right.
But he had so many hits. And he, like I said, but the one I was thinking about, and they had a lot of, Karen White was singing in the background and stuff, I guess because she was married to Terry Lewis.
That's Everything I Miss at Home. No, that might be Sherelle's song with him on it.
But I'm trying to think of his album he had. But the album that he had, like I said, it was a nice, solid album. And it had like a rock infusion. Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis produced it for him. It was great. It was different. I don't know how well it did, but it was just like, for me, that was the album that really made me...
Ultraman. That's the one Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did. Because you can hear Ralph on the backgrounds in that one. That's Ralph on the... If you... Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Yeah, it is Ultraman. Good call. Yeah, that's the album I love. Ultraman. No, you have a great ear. Even Sentimental, it has Karen White singing in the background.
Mm-hmm. I always liked when the artists would sing on each other's albums. So like
I missed that.
Burning album, Luther singing on the When You Love Someone, let's say, years ago. When You Love Someone, Saving My Love For You, something like that. Luther's all in the background, but it sounds so good. I'm like, y'all gotta do
more. Wait, for which one?
It's off Burning. It's the When You Love Somebody. It was the last single off the Burning album, or the next to the last single. It didn't really do a whole lot, but let me see. Burning from, Burning was 91. The song is, because Luther's all on the background. Oh yeah, When You Love Somebody, I'm Saving My Love. It's Patti LaBelle, but Luther's singing the backgrounds.
Okay.
So that sounds really good on that.
Okay. Yeah, but I think it's kind of cool, especially when you got good singers in your camp and you just kind of making sure everything kind of intertwines and stuff. Like, Pebble singing with Sherelle, or they're kind of like doing like a little speaking introduction. Yeah, it's just really, really nice.
Yeah, that goes back to that New Jack Swing conversation, because now I'm looking at Patty's Burning. So it feels like another one for 91. It's really like hard hitting aggressive compared to 90 with Ralph, which is real, like, 90 is just a weird year to me.
Yeah.
Great music, but just interesting, because that's Vanilla Ice Baby and everything.
Yeah, it was a growing pains for a new sound, and for what was going to be next. Yeah, it was a good time. I loved it, because I loved all the different kinds of music, so I just kind of leaned into it. But it was interesting to see how certain albums, you never heard another album like that again. That was in that little pool, and nothing kind of sounded like it before it, because it was a little bit of old, and it was a little bit of new, or it's a little bit of old trying to figure out what the new was going to be. So it's a little guessing in there.
Yeah.
You know,
I was telling somebody, Tevin Campbell's debut from 91.
Oh,
that might be my favorite album, this whole thing. when I say an album has layers, and this is a kid, I'm like, you got Round and Round on but there.
Dude, you got Quincy Jones to Kyle West to Prince. How would you, yeah, break it down and just, this, yeah.
Every song, and I love that it has, if I could interview him, I've been trying to get Tevin to like do no interviews, but I mean the layers on the albums. So yeah, you got the Prince track Round and Round. You got to tell me what you want me to do, this great power ballad.
Yes.
And then even Little Brother, it wasn't a single, but it's a great New Jack Swing.
I looked at one too.
I think I'll Be Sure did that one.
I think Kyle West. Yeah,
okay, Kyle West. And then what else is on there? Strawberry Letters on there, which is a great, I hate that the streaming version is the Euro dance version. I'm like, they just hate.
And that's why I keep my hard copies. I had a rude awakening. So I was feeling like some old hip hop from the 80s and 90s, right? And so I'm gonna play A Children's Story by Slick Rick. It's a whole new beat.
Some of that is publishing, because I was pissed when I was going, it was Father MC I was trying to play, I'll Do For You, and they didn't have the version I knew. It was like, he went and recorded it to get the publishing. I'm like, no. But man, yeah, that Tevin, yeah, there was that song, the Alone With You, which is
the Perfect World. Perfect
World. Just Ask Me To, one song. Goodbye, which is my favorite song. She's All That, Confused. I was like, this little boy,
that's
an album there. So like, yeah, it's interesting. 90 to verse 91 are two weird eras, even though Round and Round was recorded before 91. But
I think it's beautiful that you caught that with not being in it. I was in it, right? And so it was kind of like, to me, it was a good time just because, like, it was, like I said, everything was just kind of different. And so a lot of times that kind of thing is lost. You know, certain, like, people are with movies. Like, some people don't watch black and white movies because it's so far removed. So I think that's wonderful that you are that way.
To me, like, 90, 91 is finally when I'm old enough to kind of remember, because I was born in 88. 90, 91 is when I'm finally in the space I can start remembering stuff. So that Tevin Campbell album is when I remember being in a rotation, because my cousin, she might have been 13, she was obsessed, so we heard that all the time. And so like Tevin's album, Bobby, Michael's, Dangerous, those are probably the three and Hammer's too legit to quit a little bit later. Those are like those ones I just remember being in heavy rotation, that as far as like you remembering all the songs. And then a lot of the Heavy D, Father MT songs, and Big Daddy Kane,
Rest in peace, Heavy D, man. I love
his music. That's still crazy.
I love him, man. I love his music. I even got his records. I bought a record player.
I even liked his later material. The Long Distance Girlfriend and the Brown Outside. I was like, this is dope.
Did you hear his last album he did? It's like an EP.
It's all reggae?
No, that's called Vibes. That was his last reggae album. And then he did a rapping album not too long after that.
Okay.
And it's like an EP. It's like 5, 6, 7 songs. He got a song with Carl Thomas.
Okay.
And some other songs. It's beautiful. And I don't even know what genre to put it in, the style of music. It's very mature. It's very mechanical. It's the same way New Jack is mechanical.
Yeah.
You know, it's still musical, but it's mechanical. It doesn't feel like a live band or anything like that. It's very different, but it's very powerful. It's short, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful album. And I don't know if people really were up on it, or did they listen to it or whatnot. I bought it right before he had passed away. And it just, I guess it meant more to me after he did pass away, but I had it before he actually had passed away. And I just remember it's a beautiful album. It's very powerful. And it was after I remember him having an interview and saying that it's like, when you gonna have a new album? He said, when I have a clean 16, I guess 16 bars or whatever. Cause I guess he didn't really, as artists, you really, it's funny. People don't understand it, but you take just as much time digesting your life, your world, your views, as you do producing. The producing is just, you know, you're crapping it out, your life. And sometimes it's harder to chew. It's harder to digest and process. So it's not an instant thing. You don't, just because you drink a cup of water, you go to the bathroom right now. Sometimes it might be a couple of days. And creativity is the same way. And I respected him for saying that he didn't have him in him right now to do that, and he just bowed out, versus making himself look silly.
Or
degrading his legacy, trying to still be there when it's time for him to leave. So I think it made those albums that much sweeter. The Vibes reggae album, and then I can't think of the hip-hop album he did, but that hip-hop album, it's just beautiful things for him to have left us with, and people should check it out. I think, but he, him as a person, that's a person I thought that I would bump into one day and have a conversation with. Like he just seemed like, you know, he got me through a lot. He got me through a lot with his, just his music, his vibe, his positivity. He was a light for sure.
Look, that goes back to that New Jack Swing conversation. Now that we found love, 91, that's another hard hit in your face one. Like 91, they just said, we gonna fight on these songs. And everything and that beat was just, you get slapped with it. I don't know what was going on in 91, but everybody has, they were just cranking them out. But
yeah, that's funny. But all this conversation we have, it really just kind of goes, lends to the fact of how important and how powerful like this show is, this body of work, this body of artists coming together to do this. And like I said, I remember Aaron saying something like, he said, he's 59, Teddy's 57, and Damien is 54. And they're out there doing their thing. And I'm just glad that they're, you know, I don't know the level of health, but for the most part, they're in good health and they're still giving it. They're still doing their thing. And just, it was just weird. It's like I was in a damn time warp or something. Like I remember seeing them as a kid, like, you know, 16, 17, 18. And here I am, you know, going, taking myself out basically for my 50th birthday. And we're all gray. We're in the same spot, still Oakland Arena, like when I was a kid in Oakland Arena. And it's just, it's a trip, dude. It's a trip. But they got me on my journey. And it was good to see him on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, beautiful. I like the people watching the shows. And I was telling my friend, I'm like, because, yeah, a lot of the crowd was definitely way older than me. But I was like, dang. And you're watching people in like their 50s. I'm like, okay, they're reliving high school. This, cause, mind you, the most interesting part was, too, there was a few white people in the crowd. And I mean, they went in. Like, this white lady did not sit down the whole time. Knew every song had to, I'm like, okay.
I don't know why it surprised me. Same here. I don't know why it surprised me, but it touched me, too. But it's just kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, it surprised me. It surprised me too. I seen that too, and Latino too. And it's just like, that was beautiful. That says a lot. But it was some dudes even older than I was. And it's funny how, you know what? I remember seeing when I was younger, and that's probably why they're doing it too, because they were probably young around the time I was young. But you see these older gentlemen and they're just dancing in the aisles, right? I'm like, I didn't pay to see you. I called them the Wonder Twins. They were two dudes dressed up together, but they had these like light brown pea coats with the turtleneck. So they look like they came off the set of a New Edition video, and they're just dancing in front of it, walking up and down the aisle, dancing, taking turns and tandem and stuff. And I'm thinking like, don't y'all have a seat? As much as these seats cost, I know you have to have one somewhere and you paid a lot of money for it. Go sit down. But it was also kind of neat just to see that people were that excited about it. And just, you know, they dressed up and dressed to the nines and got the nails done, the hair did, and the guys are dressed in suits that's too hot to dance for hours in the dark, sweating in Oakland. But that music, those songs, those memories did that to us all. That was a magnet that pulled us all in. For wherever we were, for those from came from Vallejo or Napa or Richmond or Oakland or San Francisco or San Jose or wherever, Sacramento to come, they were a magnet and brought us all back home. And it was beautiful, and I appreciate the experience. I was just glad that I got a chance to see them all again at least one more time.
I was on a high when it was over with. Me too. Look, I still had a 50-minute drive back home after the show.
Hey, got the playlist. You know what you're gonna play.
Like, it was a good time. Like you were saying, they are all pushing about 60. I was like, all right, let me stop feeling like I'm old. I got time to do some stuff, because I was like, man, I left motivated, because like I said, it was just so polished. I mean, again, sometimes I think with some artists in that age group, sometimes just depending on what kind of backing they have, sometimes they'll go out on the road and the show is, it's just, and they threw together real quick. We're gonna get a little song out here for y'all. But visuals with the state, they went and actually recorded visuals.
Yes.
Background. They got. I noticed the stage had the lighting that would drop down. And
yes.
I was like, oh, y'all got a budget. All right. Yes. And even the outfits. I love those black and red. Shiny jack. I was like, these Negroes. All right,
and
cool.
And even for that part, you can see where, like you said, with the stage, the signage would come down and it said Ricky, Bobby, and Mike across the top.
Cool,
So just the details, they try to transport you. It almost felt like a stage play in a way.
Yeah,
the way they kind of incorporated all the stuff going
and
on.
And I missed that with performance. I always said, to me, a concert is supposed to be a whole experience. Yeah, you still enjoy the songs, but you're supposed to almost leave with something like it. Put your songs together in a way where it almost tells a story. You've been on a journey.
Yes.
Which is why it's why I always spend my money on all the seasoned acts, because they just come out of that era where that was the standard. There are some great entertainers in the modern time that do that, but something is just different with certain folks who came out of certain eras. There's just a standard. Because my obsession right now is Showtime at the Apollo reruns. And the funniest thing is 91 again. The episodes from 91, about 87 to 91.
That's my year.
That is the toughest crowd. I mean, they booed everybody. Even if you were good, you got booed. Like, you could be good. And as soon as you just almost miss a note, they turn on you. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Compared to the later episodes where they were a lot more gracious. Because, I mean, they were booing the featured act. They were booing the people that weren't at amateur night. I was like, see, folks came out of that era, so you couldn't just go on stage and do anything. You had to.
Exactly.
And if you were white, God bless you, you better really sing under the table. Because if you're good, they'll cheer for you. But if there's somebody else they like, when it comes down, you're going to get booed when Kiki Shepherd come out.
Right.
You couldn't even be safe. Even singing gospel, you weren't safe.
If you're a little kid singing gospel, they let you stay. But the 91, they will boo you.
And that's before Apollo Kids, so they boo the kids.
Like, they will boo. They will boo the kids, and Sandman will come out there and get you. The Sandman come up there.
I was traumatized watching that. I said, "God, I'm glad I'm not." That's a tough crowd. So I just feel like those seasoned acts. That's the era they came out of. So they just know you can't just go on stage doing anything. People pay to see you, so give them a show.
Yeah, because they're for sure. You're gonna get the rubbing of the log. You're gonna get Kiki Shepherd.
If you forget the rubbing log, then you get booed. And even if you go back to rest, too late. They done turned on you.
Yep. And then you got the Sandman, and you got the woman, the freaky woman, with hands like this.
Oh, with the girl
grabbing the legs.
She's still alive too.
Are you serious?
I think she's still alive. I just saw. I was Googling what happened to her. I think she's still alive.
Up there, leg raping all the men.
Always pulling on the now. Man, but yeah, that's
her leg assaults. You can. I never seen her face before. I just seen the back of her head, her arms like this, rubbing, pulling on the guy's leg.
They had a couple on there one time, the husband and wife. The husband was blind, so the wife had to roll him on the stage. I thought the crowd would get them a little. He wasn't even bad. They were doing Where Was the Love, Johnny and Roberta. They got to boo, and I was like, y'all gonna boo the blind man?
Yes, they will.
Lord. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, that I've been obsessed with those reruns. It just comes on all day, so.
That's right on. Yeah, I love them too. And that's when people really, and especially that year too, people were really fighting for that performance. So when they have like a guest performing on there or whatnot, it would be on. Because even
that's the dope part too. Yeah, like there's so many people I have never heard of that were features, because you know the labels are sending their folks to go perform there. So you're seeing a lot of the people who would have come out in that about 87, 92 era with either like a house or a New Jack Swing or whatever else kind of song that maybe didn't catch on, or maybe they had a song peak at the bottom of the R&B charts. So I'm seeing a lot of those performers, because I've seen so many people. I'm like, I've never heard of this person. I'd be thinking I know everything, but I'm like, who is this? Then I go back and Google. So I've also discovered some people as of late too. I'm like, all right. So yeah, that's been my guilty pleasure for the last few weeks.
That's right on. That's right on. Well, it sounds like we both enjoyed the concert for sure, and it definitely had us going down memory lane. But it's all related. It's all related to this. Let's see. Was it anything? So for this concert, as we wrap up, what do you think stood out the most for you?
Yeah, they didn't do every little step I take. I was like, wait a minute, we're missing a number here.
I think we got that. I thought he did it.
I think Bobby got sick. They read. Let me ask you, our closing song was Any Heartbreak. Did y'all close with Poison or y'all had something else?
I think we ended with Poison.
Yeah, Any Heartbreak was our closer. So they kind of shifted the set list a little bit.
Okay.
And they didn't do You're Not My Kind of Girl. I know they had been doing it in other cities, but we didn't get
they
it.
Did, they did that. That's my daughter's favorite song from them. So
we
they
got,
did that.
That was a different song we got that they don't normally perform. I forgot which one they gave us. So yeah, they played a snippet of the music video and then went to a different song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the last song they did together, like as New Edition, was Can You Stand the Rain? And then it was Every Little Step and then Poison after that.
Yeah, so we didn't get Every Little Step. We got Poison and Any Heartbreak.
Oh.
All right, I'll take it. I always liked Any Heartbreak.
Me too, it's a good song.
I like the bridge.
Did Johnny bring it home though?
Johnny was like, all right.
There is no cure. Did you do it right?
There's
no cure.
Yeah, so. I'm trying to think. The band arrangements was really good too. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I like when artists try to enhance the song that's already there with the musicality. Like, because I was saying too, with a lot of artists that are getting older, where maybe they're not going to be able to run around and dance as much, where there's the void with the cutting down of the dancing, the musicality and the arrangements of the show should just only get better, kind of. That's because, you know, give me all of that. You don't got to spill on your head. I just need it to sound amazing.
Yeah, I noticed that, especially with certain songs, especially with some of the New Edition songs, they had like a little go-go in it, sound like. I'm like, huh, that's a little go-go beat. They have under, you know, like an undertone and stuff. So I do like the musicality of stuff. Sometimes I don't like it when it's too much. Put it where it's like extra seasoning on top of the meal. Don't change the meal, don't change the recipe, but the seasoning on top, the little garnish, change that up a
just
little
enough.
Bit. Mm-hmm. But don't make it foreign, but just kind of like, oh, like that song, you put some strings in it, okay, that makes it pop. It doesn't take away from the bass of it, but the strings, like, oh, it gives it more height. So things like that, I don't mind. So like, yeah, so when you say, like, you know, when that's done, it's done right, which I feel they did. It really makes a difference. Yeah, so for me, what stood out, me realizing again how many songs I love by Keith Sweat.
You forget, because I think I said that on my video, you forget there's like two waves. There's the New Jack era and then the cool down with all the R&B smooth gems he had. Wish he would have added Keep It Coming. That was my favorite as a kid. But
I like, was it My Whole World? My Whole World. Yeah, ever since you walked into my life. Yeah, like that, man.
There were some songs he didn't even do.
And he had a big set, and yet and still. So I was reminded how brilliant and how beautiful it still sound. Twisted is still a banger. Nobody is still a banger. I got introduced to that chick singing background. What's her name again?
Aya Milan.
Oh, thank you for Keith, for bringing her with you.
Yeah.
She stood out. Aaron Hall standing next to me doing his thing. That was a moment. Still in Love by New Edition and Bobby Brown bringing it in general.
Mr. Telephone Man was a favorite too. Yeah. They sounded really good on that.
Yeah.
That was the highlight.
Yeah. So I thought it was, and the fact that the most impressive part was everybody was on the same page as far as enjoying the moment.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't a home again. Pulling out guns.
Right. The sense of community and love, both the stage and then also us in the audience, where, you know, people were just kind of smiling and bopping even after the concert was over, and nobody stepped on no toes. Nobody's pushing or nothing like that. It was nice. You know, it was just like, and even though we were in the parking lot for an hour because we couldn't find our car, everybody still had a smile on their face, lost walking in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's the only thing. The way Baltimore is set up, the arena just sits right smack in the middle, and not the best setup for getting out with traffic. So you just sit there. I'm like, man, but it was good vibes because, you know, Baltimore can be off the chain on occasion. So, but everybody was good. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end with this. What song would you, if you said like a song for you that kind of encapsulate the tour, the vibe of the tour, the New Jack, what's the song that always kind of stand out to you?
Dang, they didn't even perform it. It would have been Gangsta, but
okay.
But out of the actual songs they performed,
well, not even New Jack, I would say. I guess the vibe of the 90s. I guess that's to be fair.
With the people that were on the stage.
Yeah.
It would be a combination of Let's Chill.
Yes, that's mine.
Twisted, and dang, I'm gonna say it's Still in Love. And it's crazy because I'm naming all the later songs. I think the musicality just really shows on those. The musicality was just together on that. I even like Ralph's version of Sensitivity, where how it was real like acoustic sounding. I was like, that's different. I needed the beat to drop a little sooner, but
yeah, I liked it too. But that also goes to show you that he didn't have a lot of hits to do.
He had Money Can't Buy Love. I don't think anybody would want to sit through Stone Cold Gentleman. It was cool, but it was, I would have taken like When I Need Somebody, but I don't think anybody remembers that song. That's off the second album.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I just, and you know what, he actually did have a when he lived in Oakland for a while, and he had an independent album that came out, and I wish I would have got it.
It has the 10 Toes Down song on it.
I'm not for sure. I know the cover was kind of,
it was
dark.
Like the 2000s.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I think that might be the same project.
Yeah, I couldn't find it digitally anywhere, but I remember seeing the album at Tower Records or something, and I was just kind of like, he got a new album? And I didn't recognize none of the producers. That was a year of people getting you. You know what I mean? Like, they've been gone for a reason. They didn't disappear on accident, and then they just have a project, and I've been burnt a couple of times, you know, excited, expecting. You flip over the cover and got 12 songs and none of the usual suspects as far as producers. Right.
Yeah. That's the worst. That's back when you still paid for music too. So you
exactly.
So you invested your $16.
Exactly. So you could, so you couldn't play around. So you couldn't play around. So you had to make good choices.
You made a choice between them or something else.
Exactly.
Like, all right, I'll come back and get that one later.
Right. Because you can use that $16 and go to Amoeba Records and go to the bins and, you know, start CD digging, and you can find albums for $1. And you might happen across a gem somewhere or a promo copy that the, you know, the record right. store, you know, put out.
Radio promo yes. special thing you can't find nowhere else. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I got a few of those from certain artists and they never got released. And I can't think of her name right now. I think is it April or is it something? But it's this chick that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis produced when they wasn't working with Janet anymore. Mm-hmm. And she sounds just like Janet, but almost a better voice. But she sings like Janet. And I couldn't even enjoy it right because it sounded too much like Janet, even though it sounded better.
Hmm.
But she wasn't
like Janet. Late 2000s?
I'm trying to remember. Matter of fact, I pulled that CD out because I wanted to ask you, did you ever hear of her before? She had a song called, she had a song called like Little Red Boat or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and it was almost kind of like, Janet, if you don't work with us, we're going to find somebody. We're going to find somebody to replace you. A good looking sister too.
Oh, Angel Grant?
That's it.
Oh, okay. I gotta go back and revisit. This name looks familiar. It says, all right, even if things are grand. Oh, she had a Planet Groove special on BET in 98.
And so it's right. Little Red Boat is her song, right? Or something like that.
It's Little Red Boat is from 98.
Okay, that's her. That's her.
I'll go visit her later.
Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis produced her, and that was her, I think that was their threat to Janet.
Oh, she was signed to them.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they had just produced Velvet Rope, so they were still working together then.
They were?
It's the same era. Yeah, they didn't stop working with her till Discipline in 08. They're on every album except Discipline in the first two.
Okay, because Discipline was the first one I didn't care for.
20YL was the first one I didn't care for. They was on that one. But that was them and JD. I liked the
second 20YL,
but I didn't care for the first half.
But that's the same thing I felt with New Edition, with that Home Again, and I liked the Terry Lewis Jimmy Jam half. I didn't like all the rest of it. They were okay, but it wasn't true New Edition songs, like Still in Love.
I think a good producer knows how to make sure a song doesn't feel empty. And I think some producers, because the musicality is not the same, mm-hmm. it can give you a great beat sometimes, but there's an emptiness sometimes with some production. Or you're listening and you know it's going to be dated in a few years because it only fits for that current era. So like that's why I always said some artists, once you got the good formula, don't mess it up. Stick with who you know.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, but the record executives or whatever, they want you, because like they was pushing for En Vogue to get different producers. I'm like, for what? And it, like you said, there were some songs that, like that EV3 album, that was a good one. That was really good. It was different for them, and they did work with different producers like Babyface and different folks like that. But that was lightning. it didn't always work like that. So I think it's fine to do that, to find like Organized Noise produced that one song that was a hit for them. What's it gonna be?
What's it gonna be? 'Cause I can't pretend. Don't you wanna be all that fresh? Ooh. Hold me tight and don't let go. Don't let go. You had a right to lose control. Don't let go.
What's it gonna be?
Yeah. Set It Off soundtrack.
Yeah. So sometimes you do find gems in doing that, but I would always go back home. And then if you need an extra little something to make it stand out a little bit different, then you tap Teddy Riley on the shoulder, or you tap Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis on the shoulder, or you tap, you know, whoever.
The ones that live and breathe music, not the ones that just...
You tap a Raphael Sadiq.
For you real quick.
Right. You need seasoning, tap Raphael Sadiq. Tap, get him. Yeah. You know who was a good producer back in the day, around that time too, that did a lot, and I think he's underrated? Was Speech from Arrested Development. He did a lot of great producing of songs too. And some musicians, what I'm going to do, and we might just have maybe I'll have you back if you're down for it, but just kind of go over some, you know, some gems or whatever, or some stuff that, you know, or just kind of talk shop about this kind of stuff. But there were like different, I think her name Linnell or Laurel was this chick. She had a nice voice, but the album's basically produced half by Rafael Sadiq and half by Speech. Mm-hmm. And they had different sounds, but they all fit with her. And I would just see them tag team on different people and with their production work. And it's just like, who would have thought? So you never know, but it's just like, it's so much great lost music out there. And I didn't get rid of none of my CDs. So sometimes I'd be just, I got a song in my head, I got to find it. And I'd be in there and digging in the boxes and in different places where I put CDs. I don't know,
all over the place. Some are here, some's at my mama's house.
I got some of my storage and stuff.
Some pieces are here, but the right. CDs at my mama's house. I'm like, man.
But there's nothing worse than having a song on your heart and in your head and you can't find it because you need to hear it. I'll be weird about it. Like, I need to find, I'm keep digging and I can't remember if it's this album or not, or this song, or what song is it? So I got to listen to the whole thing. So I go through that. And
I remember I burned every CD I had into my computer.
Me
so I
too.
I have everything on the hard drive. So same. If that hard drive disappears, I might jump off a bridge. But
same here. And that's why my computer's choking up right now because I got all this music on it. But like I said, I'm glad I did because when I thought it was going to be convenient just to go online and Amazon or Apple Music, I can't find those artists. And I can't find those songs.
The label and the song that was up there last week is taken down the next week. I'm like, you're not trying to deal with that all the time.
Nope, I got mine. So maybe we got to exchange stuff. And this is on my mind now. When I come across stuff, I'll just send it your way. And if it's something that you don't have, I'll strip it and send it to you. But
all right.
I got a little bit of everything. But like, man, like I said, in general, just for real, like, I do appreciate you. And thank you for always kind of coming through. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. And thanks for always making time.
No problem.
Anything you would like to end with? You have any projects or anything you want to talk about, or your social media stuff, what you got going?
Oh, it's so funny. One time we did one of these shows like 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, the spring is about to be lit, because I thought the album was going to be out there. That was 2 years ago.
No judgment.
Here we are.
No judgment. Finally,
we're getting somewhere. Yeah, I have a project dropping at some point in the summer. Music video was already shot last summer. That's how far behind I am.
Wow.
But yeah, because I was like, let me make sure the rollout's right. The album cover's been shot. Everything is just, once I got the opportunity to do the short film, I had to pause everything. So it's all coming together. Website is pretty much there. I just haven't promoted it yet because I just want to add a few more tabs. But yeah, 2023, the second half will be a great time. So yeah, some new music. The short film, some other things down the pipeline as well. So it'll be an interesting second half of the year.
You got so much going on that you make big deal stuff sound casual. That's funny.
Some of this stuff, I'm just ready to put it out already so I can have my life back. Like, man, I've been working on this stuff forever. You work on the album for so long, you start swapping out tracks because you get tired of hearing the one. It's like, okay, that one's gonna go, and before you know it, you keep thinking you know we're finally at that 15 track, we're there, and then you get rid of three and now you're back down to 12 and you got to get three, but now this don't match the other, so another one got to get yanked off, and before you know it, it's been 2 years. But it's gonna be really good though. I can't wait once it's finally there. And then I'm actually gonna kind of travel a bit to promote, so I'll do I know I'm gonna do a listening party in Brooklyn.
Gonna be
one in DC. I haven't figured out Atlanta yet. And then it's California, y'all too big. It's either gonna be the Bay or LA. Yeah, I ain't doing both. But
come to the Bay, man. Come to the Bay.
Figure out something. Yeah. So I'm still trying to get all those logistics and stuff done. I just figured, all right, because for some reason I'm stubborn. I just have no interest in getting an actual deal. I don't want to deal with no labels because I just want to do what I want to do.
I understand.
I got to be my own marketing strategist too. But yeah, I just want to do some traveling. As far as like promoting, those are my biggest markets based on when I look at my numbers. It's Oakland, LA, Atlanta, DC, New York. So I said, dang, Seattle, I'm from over there. Y'all fake as I don't know what. But
it's always hard to impress home.
That's okay. If I go on tour, I ain't stopping there. No, I'm just kidding.
You're funny. I said the same thing with my art. You know, I do all my stuff in New York, and sometimes familiarity makes it hard for people to see.
Yeah, I said I got more streams in Germany than Seattle. All right, we'll get international too then. Fine. That's how it got to be.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, much success to you. I'm looking forward to hearing your new work, forward to seeing the short film and all that good stuff, and whatever else you have coming. Hopefully you come to the Bay, we can check you out.
All right then, sir.
This has been Jay and Calvin, and we've been talking about the Legacy Tour. Please try to check it out. It's worth the experience. All right. So till next time, peace.